Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word this morning. And as we get into it, just encourage us, speak to us, and bless especially those moms that have come. And bless us all, Lord, because the scriptures apply to all of us how we should be. And we just look forward to the great words you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, last week was our first week at 9:30, and then after we had a, you know, coffee and snacks and a time of fellowship and food in the fellowship hall. And it went so well. It was really great. Most of the people just came there, and we had a wonderful time. And we decided we'll start off by doing that once a month, the first Sunday of the month, and we'll probably have a theme of the type of food and all, and people will bring it and we'll enjoy it. Now, if you don't bring something, don't feel like you can't come, because it'll be special food and people will sign up to bring that food, so it's for everyone. But next month is already taken. It's going to be Filipino Day, right? Next month, the first Sunday of the month, and Miriam and some others are going to prepare the food, so plan on coming out. And it's a good chance to invite others out. Say, I'm going to take you out for a free brunch today. And there's no catch. You just have to wait a while. We'll wait while we're go to service while we're waiting for the food. And that's something like that, you know. So you can invite people out. So look forward to next month. But if you want to do something in the future and you have some ideas, just let my wife know. But today, the message is out of 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 37. And it's about a woman of God. You know, Mother's Day, it's fitting that we read the story of a woman, a wife and a mother. And this woman is a woman of God that we read about. And in verse 8 we read, it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. So we see this man, Elisha the prophet. He took over for Elijah the prophet. He was God's man, and God was speaking to man through the prophet. And now it's Elisha's turn, and people knew God was speaking through the prophets at this time. Now we have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit who teaches us. And God's man, it tells us he goes to Shunem, this northern part of Israel, and it tells us that a prominent woman lives there. I mean, she was well-to-do, a notable woman, very notable, prominent. And she persuaded him, as this prophet came through that area, to eat some food. Now, that word persuaded actually means she held him there. In other words, she was really hospitable. She says, you're not going anywhere. You're coming in and eating with us. And so she drags him in, forces him to stay there. He, you know, encourages him to stay there. And then it tells us afterward, as often as he passed by there, he would turn in there to eat some food. So now he's found a regular diner at this lady's house every time he... And the prophets would pass through Israel and prophesy. There would be like a missionary. So he finds this place where there's this nice place. This notable woman must have a nice place. And he says, wow, I've got a place to stop in and eat every time I pass through this way. So first of all, we see this woman... She loved God. She loved and honored God's representative, Elisha the prophet. She acknowledged she was being used by God. And God was first in her life, we're going to see. Above everyone else and all else, God was first. And we see also she was hospitable, willing to share. She says, you're coming in and you're eating here. So she has a good character, godly, hospitable. So many moms, Christian moms, have this giving nature. And God puts that in a mother, to be giving. I don't think moms could ever give enough to their children or others. Moms love their children and they love to give. And this woman was loving, giving, and loved God above all, as we see, and shared with this prophet. And then verse 9 and 10 we read, and she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall. Let us put a bed for him. Put a bed for him there and a table and a chair." And it's getting good, huh? "And a lampstand. So it'll be whenever he comes to see us, he can turn in there." He says, "Hey, you know what, hubby? This prophet's stopping in all the time as he passes through our area. Let's build a room for him. Let's do an addition to the house and put a table and a lamp, a chair, a bed, so that whenever he comes in, he probably had his own door to enter in through, he could just come, stop in, and stay there." So they want to make it really nice for this guy. So she asks her husband to make a permanent room for him with furniture. So we see she's thoughtful. She's thoughtful. Moms are thoughtful. They're thinking of others, of their children all the time. She wants to make this man of God comfortable, do something for him, great. And so one day it happened, verse 11, that he came there and he turned into the upper room and laid down there. So he's taking advantage of it, passes through, goes into this room, lays down on his bed. She's got a bed for him there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, these prophets had servants that would help them. And this servant is Gehazi. He's the one that helped Elisha. And he says, "Hey, call this Shunammite woman." And when he had called her, she stood before him and says, "Gehazi, go get her. I want to talk to her. I want to tell her something. I want to speak to her." So she came and stood before him. And in verse 13, he said to him, now he's speaking through a servant. Why, I don't know, but that's the way he's speaking. He said to him, "Say to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?" She answered, "I dwell among my own people. I'll be okay." So he calls her in and he says, "Look, you're concerned about us. You really care for us. What can I do for you?" And that's the attitude we should have for people that take care of us. What can I do for you? I'm sure you don't mind, moms, when someone does something for you. That's neat. And so he says, "I want to do something," the prophet says, "for this woman. What can I do for you?" And he says, "Well, you want me to speak to the king or the commander of the army?" He says, "Hey, do you want some political favor or protection? Man, I can put a good word for you and you'll be safe in this place. No one will ever touch you and you'll be taken care of. While I'm not here, there'll be someone to take care of you." God is so good. He sees our heart in concern for others, our hospitality. God blesses those that are this way. God always gives back to us in some way. This woman is really honoring God by honoring God's prophet. And she's doing good. And the Bible tells us to do good. Maybe sometimes, all of us, but moms especially, sometimes you probably don't feel like you're appreciated. What have I done all this for? All these years, all of my life. I've given them my heart and my soul, my blood, everything. And maybe you get these moments where you don't feel recognized for what you do. But know this, God sees and God knows. He sees. That's what's important. God knows. And he sees. And we know, and God knows, you take care of others and you do others simply because you love them. And they can't change your mind, can they? No matter how ornery they get, you still love them. That's an amazing love, isn't it? The things they do and you can still love them. And that's the way, we are. And that's the way mums are. Because you're concerned about children. You're concerned about others. And it seems they can never turn you off. You're just going to love them. Well, that's the same way God loves us. We can't turn him off. Like I've said before, you can never stop God from loving you. In our worst moment, he loves you. And he's going to give to you. He's going to take care of you. He knows. He sees. He knows what you're going through. You maybe walked in here this morning with a broken heart. God knows that. And he loves you. And he will take care of you. But you must focus on God. This woman does. She focuses on God. So he says, you know, you want me to speak to the king or the commander of the army? She says, when she says at the end, no, I dwell among my people, what she's saying is, you know what? I don't want any special privileges. I'm not doing this because I'm looking for political favor or anything in return. I just want to do this for you. You know, people in the world don't understand that kind of love. Well, why are you doing that? Well, because I love them. Because I love God. That's why I do it. So in verse 13, he says, you know, she says, no, I'm fine. I'm dwelling among my own people. I'm content. So we see this woman is content. She's not looking for anything. Godly contentment, hospitable, thoughtful, concerned about others and God's people. And yet, she lacks one thing. She lacks something that every wife in Israel would want, a son. She lacks. She's that way with that godly character and lacks probably the most important thing in her heart on this earth, a son. Because in Israel, that was a big deal, to give your husband a son so he could take over. You know what was Social Security benefits in that day? Your children. That was it. That was your insurance. I'm sure this hurt her. We see she's a godly woman even though she lacks. It's a one-way street, isn't it? But thank God you're on that right way. So, verse 14, he said, well, what then is to be done for her? He's talking to his servant. What can we do for her? She doesn't want anything. And Gehazi answered and said, well, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. He pins down the problem. That it's not a problem. She's probably learned to live with it. He says, well, you know what, prophet? I notice she doesn't have a son. And her husband is old, which is really saying there's no chance of having one either. Don't we read about that a lot in the Bible? These women suffering. He says, okay, thanks for letting me know. Verse 15, he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. So he calls her again. She stands in the doorway. And he says to her in verse 16, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she says, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. You don't lie to me about this. This is a thing that's very close to my heart. You don't fool around with a woman when it comes to a child. And so she's now got these mixed emotions. Don't talk like that. Don't make me promises that I know I can't, you know, won't come true. I don't have a son, and it doesn't look like we'll have a son. And this is a very touchy subject, and so I don't even want to talk about this. Then you know what I'm talking about with those things in your life. I don't even want to talk about it. Why did you say that? Please don't lie to me, she says. No, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. Don't give me false hope. Don't fool around with my feelings. She's maybe adjusted to living without a son. You know, after a while, you adjust as much as it hurts. But you know what? All things are possible for God. That's what you hang on to today. All things are possible for God. She had no son and her husband was old. And the prophet tells her, and it's really God speaking to her because he used the prophets, at this time next year, you're going to embrace a son. And I can't imagine how her heart jumped. Can that be real, God? If you're a woman of God, you're in prayer, you're following the Lord, He will bless you. He gives you the strength to go through, and He blesses you. Don't think it's impossible. Don't stop praying for whatever that thing is in your life. Nothing is impossible for God. Maybe it's a wayward child, rebellion, sickness, whatever. Don't stop praying. Maybe it's your mate. Don't stop praying. But put God first. He says you can't love, you know, mother or father, child or son. You can't love husband or wife more than Him. He has to be first, and that's when the blessings come. A lot of times we want to take care of everybody. And God's saying, I'll take care of them. You take care of me. Business with me. Put me first and be the example. That's where this woman was. God was first in her life. And she was a godly woman, even though lacking this son. She loved God. And she said, don't fool around with me. And I've got a great relationship with God. But guess what? When he says, you know, about this time next year, verse 17, but the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. Guess what? God is good all the time. And next, a year later, she's embracing a son. Isn't that wonderful? God answers prayer. He answers our obedience to Him. A lot of times we think we've got to work out these situations. And God says, I will work them out. You continue to take care of my prophet. You continue to honor me. I will handle that person or that situation or that child. I will do it. You don't have to. Pray. Be obedient. Love. A son came. Verse 18. The child grew. So he's a little older now. It happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. Something happened to this child. This boy, I don't know how old he is now. But he's out there crying, my head, my head. I don't know if he got hit with something or he had a seizure or whatever it was. But he says, my head, my head. Something's wrong. And so, verse 19, he said to his father, my head. And he said to his servant, carry him, get him back to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and he died. This gets good. So this is, don't get so bummed out now. This gets good. You know, we're saying, Mother's Day, why are we going over this? This is all good. But can you imagine sitting on her knees? She's probably weeping, brokenhearted, lost. He's lost. It was given to me, and now he's lost. And noon, he dies on her lap. What an awful scene. Can you imagine to be given a son when it seemed impossible? And now the mother sees him suffer and die on her knees. You know, we read stories in the Bible, we think they're just stories, but they're real life. And they had feelings like you and I. This is real. What grief, what heartache. What does she do in this situation? She went up, laid him on the bed of the man, that prophet that she made for him, the man that her husband made for him, the man of God. She shut the door upon him and went out. She does an interesting thing. She takes her son. She goes into that room that they built for the prophet. She lays him on the bed of that prophet and closes the door. She doesn't spend days and months grieving and holding this child. No, she immediately goes to God, is what she does. She goes to the God because God is working through the man of God. And she lays her dead son on the bed in the that she provided for the prophet. In other words, she's putting him in God's hands. It's done, but I'm putting him in your hands, God. You said I'd be embracing the sun, and she shuts the door and she leaves. In verse 22, then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. She says, get a message to my husband. He's out in the fields. And have him send me a servant and a donkey, and a very fast donkey. And bring them back to me so that I can go to the man of God. He's not in that area. And she says, I want to go find him and then come back. And she's going to the man of God, the man that God was using at this time. That's where her hope was in the Lord. What she knew to do was go to God. She says, I've got to go to this man that God is working through, the prophet. So get me a servant and a donkey. And then, verse 23, her husband says, well, why are you going to him today? You know, I think women are more sensitive than men, spiritually. Let's face it. They have that heart. The husband says, well, why are you away now? What are you doing that today for? Why are you going to him today, to this prophet? It's neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she says, it is well. She says, hey, it's not a religious holiday. What are you going to visit the prophet for? Why do you want to go, it's probably a little bit away, to the man of God? And why today? It seems moms are a little more spiritually minded, and she's turning to God right away. You know, God never rests or takes time off. Isn't that good? You can go to him today. You don't have to say, well, I'll wait till Sunday till we go to church and we'll pray about this. That's what the husband was telling her. Wait till Sunday. Why do you want to go bother him today? Why are you going to church on Wednesday? This woman is aware of God's presence, and she wants to be in prayer. She wants to be where God's working. And she says, she says at the end of verse 20, it is well. Hey, honey, it's okay. I know what I'm doing. Don't worry about it. I've got to go now. It's all well. Verse 24. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward and do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. She says, you saddle up and go fast and don't you slow down unless I tell you to. We got to get there fast. I want to get to this man of God fast. And she departed and went to the man of God. He was at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman. So the prophet sees her afar off. And he says to his servant, hey, that's that woman that takes care of us and built the place for us. Look it, she's coming. Please run now to meet her and say to her, is it all well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? He says, go and ask her, how are things going? Are you okay? Is your husband okay? Is your child okay? And she answers the servant, it is well. She answers the servant, it is well. This woman wants to speak directly with God's prophet. She doesn't want to waste any time and go through other people. Things hit us in life, and we're talking to hundreds of people and trying to resolve this situation. This woman knows if God doesn't do it, it won't get done. I don't need to go anywhere else. And a good counselor will always counsel you to go to God. Life is between an individual and God. Oh, don't you wish there were more to be able to help you? But you know what? It's between me and God on this earth. God brings helpers, helpmates, people to guide you in the right place. He gives us the Word of God. But ultimately and realistically, an issue is between a person and God. That's where you go to the college of the desert. That place, that school where it's no one but you and God. And he teaches you about himself, how good he is, so that at the end of service, and when we say God is good, and you say all the time, you're meaning it in your heart, and not just because we say it. It's just spontaneous because you say, oh, God is good all the time. He is so good. And he wants us to say it from our heart. Because you've seen him work miracles, and you've trusted in him, and he's brought things to pass, and you can say, he is good. Wonderful name of Jesus. It's so good. And she says, I'm not sharing this with anyone else, even your servant. Everything's well. Let me through. Can you just picture this, Mom? She's not settling for anything less than God. Talking to the man of God. Or she's going to get help. Know this, your help is in God. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Wow, he can do anything. You might talk to people and they might bum you out. But talk to God and guess what? He'll lift you up. But God has to be enough. See, in this woman's life, even her husband wasn't enough. She says, get me a donkey and a servant. I'm going to talk to the man of God. You commune with God. I commune with God. We can encourage one another to do that. We can pray together. We can talk together. But our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. You know, that makes it good because there are no impossible situations then. Because someone might talk to you and say, oh boy, yeah, you know, that doesn't look good. You better get prepared and get your life in order. Well, I didn't come to hear that. I'd rather talk to someone who says, let's pray and ask God to work. What would you rather have? Our hope is in the Lord. And she says, it's all well. You know, I don't want to talk to you. Just let me through. I want to speak directly with God's prophet. In our case today, it would relate this way. We Christians have the privilege of going directly to God the Father and seek help. And that's what he wants us to do. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, speaking of Jesus. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Where does it say to go in your time of need? I don't care if you're 5 years old or 105 years old. Where does it say to go in your time of need? It says to come boldly to the throne of grace. You enter the heavens to the Father's throne so that you can obtain mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. That's where we go. Because that's where your help will come from. From God, the maker of heaven and earth. Isn't that wonderful? There's no impossible situations. So we come boldly to him in our time of need. This woman, this mom was bold. And she says, yeah, sorry, honey, I don't have time to talk to you. I got to go to the man of God. Sorry, servant, I don't want to talk to you. I'm going to get in touch with God. And she did. Because that's where help comes from. We go to God. In verse 27, look at her reaction. Now when she came, she was finally allowed to come to the man of God at the hill. She caught him by the feet. Can you imagine that? She says, you're not getting away till you help me. She caught him by the feet and wouldn't let him walk or run. She says, you stay right here. But Gehazi came near, the servant, to push her away. That's what people try to do sometimes, push you away from God. How do they do that? Well, let's be sensible. Let's be logical. You've got to do something about the situation. And so they get you involved in trying to work the situation out rather than pointing you to God. You see, people will push us away. The world will push you away. Relatives will feel sorry for you and say, oh, man, walk out on that person or do this or do that. That's a crazy situation. And they might tell you to do some ungodly thing because they love you. But they don't love you the way God loves you. He loves you, and he knows what's best. So you listen to God. She says, I want God to talk to me. Grabbed him by the feet, and the servant tried to push away, but the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. So let her go. She's in distress. He could tell she is in distress. And you know, she says, you're not getting away from me. She says, and the Lord hasn't told me what's wrong. I don't know. But I know that she's in distress. See, godly women intercede for their children, and they place their children in God's hands. See, moms want the best for their sons and their daughters, and the best is God's will. Gehazi wanted to push her away, but she says, I'm pursuing God. And Elisha says, let her alone. She's in deep distress, but God hasn't told me. And moms, you know what distress is. Because you love. With love comes pain. Heartache and pain. Do you know why? Because it reaches your heart, that love. It affects your heart. It affects your inner being. That's good. Because you love. And God will use you with that love to pursue God and find that person help. Better than if you didn't care and just were able to brush them aside. It's better to hurt for a person so that it leads you to your knees to intercede with God for them. And you can only do that out of that position of love. You grieve over sickness, rebellion, a child's choices in life. It hurts you. But a mom and a dad must put a child in God's hands, no matter how old they are. You know, when you're raising children, maybe you're still raising children, you're saying, well, when does all this end? I want to tell you, never. It still hasn't ended for me, because on top of the children, I have others after them. It never ends. Because you love. And God will use you through that love to help, to intercede, to bring them to the Lord, you see. And that's what we do. We put them in God's hands. But then we need to trust God to do the work necessary. This woman wanted nothing less than what God wants. She says, I have to hear from God. And I want what God wants. Sometimes, and I just read this devotional a couple weeks ago, we want to keep a child safe, no matter how old they are. We want them to be taken care of, to be secure, to be warm, to be in a good place. We want them safe. God wants them saved. Big difference. We can interfere with that by wanting to keep them safe and provided for and warm and sheltered. We want to keep them safe, and so does a mother's heart. But remember, the Father in heaven wants them saved, and he must be able to do whatever it takes to bring him there, or her there. So that's why this woman was wise in putting God first and running to God. Because we can hover over the person our whole life and then ruin our fellowship with the Lord, and then it still hasn't done any good because God hasn't been able to deal with that child where it's only him or her and God in that college of the desert where they can learn their lessons, where it'll be a permanent salvation. You see? We can keep interfering. God wants them saved. Just remember that if you leave here with nothing else than that. We want them safe, but God wants them safe. And the pain and the hurt will come as we watch God work, even if they're out there in the world all alone suffering. But we must remember God wants them saved. which is better than safe and provided for. But it takes that deep love to be able to do that. A deep love for God, where you so trust Him and love Him to do the right thing. And we release them into God's hands. And there's, you know, He loves them more than a mom does, as great as a mother's love is. And verse 28, we pick it up. So she said, "Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Hey, don't you remember? I'm not the one that asked for a son here. You're the one that told me I'm going to get a son. What's going on? You know, we get a little testy sometime. Maybe you don't. I do. But sometimes you get a little testy. What's going on here? I mean, I didn't ask for this. What's going on? You told me I'm going to get a son. You got my heart going again, my hopes up, and wow, now you're taking it all away. But at least she's talking to the man of God here. And verse 29, then he said to Gehazi, hey, Gehazi, you notice he doesn't argue with her? Because God's working through this man. He's just God's instrument. He said, God probably told him to do this. Get yourself ready. Take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child. He says, oh, Gehazi, here's what I want you to do. Get my staff, go to her house. Don't even stop to talk to anyone. Just go and get there and put my staff, that he would use, like, you know, a big staff, a cane, and lay it on the face of the dead child. Verse 30. And the mother of the child says, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. He says, hey, wait a minute. I know, I want you to go. I'm not leaving here. And remember, she's got her arms wrapped around his feet. I'm not leaving here. So in other words, he's not going anywhere either unless you go. Servant's not enough. Other people aren't enough. You, God, you're the one that has to resolve this situation for me, because the promise came from you. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and Gehazi runs ahead and he laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child has not awakened. See, it didn't work, because God's using his prophet. But Gehazi was already running ahead of him. He went, laid the staff on there, nothing happened. Child's still dead. When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. Still there. You know, don't give up, moms. Maybe you tried stuff, nothing's happening. Other people tried to work things out, didn't happen. God's saying, no, I'm going to do this work. I'm going to do this work. So Elisha comes, the man of God, and there was the child on his bed, and he went in therefore and shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. What did he do? What did the prophet do? He prayed to the Lord. And maybe that's what God will tell you. Just pray. And you say, but we got to do something. And guys, pray. She probably expected him to do something. He just prayed. And, you know, people say, you know, aren't you doing anything? I'm saying, yeah, I'm praying. And you can kind of see them get a little discouraged. Like, well, and in their mind, they're probably saying, aren't you going to do something about it? Well, I'm praying. I'm praying to the Lord. I'm getting in touch with the Lord, because he's going to use me, you see. And so, verse 33, he went and shut the door and two of them and prayed. So it's him and the dead son there, and he's praying. You know, we must know, moms, dads, everybody must know the power of prayer. We must know that. Then we won't interfere. We must know the power of prayer. Don't get a lapse of faith. Know the power of prayer. Moms, when you are staying up at night praying, you are doing something powerful. You need to know that. You probably go out the next morning and say, oh, I didn't get anything done. I was up all night. You did a lot. You were up all night praying. You did a lot. There's power in prayer. What did it say in Philippians 4, 6 and 7? Be anxious for nothing, but pray about everything. That's what we do with thanksgiving. So verse 34, after he prays, he went up, lay on the child, put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. Can you picture this? He lays himself on top of that child, eye to eye, face to face, hands to hands. He just lays himself up on, it's sort of like a cross, isn't it? Stretched out on him. We're covered by Jesus Christ. He just lays himself out on him, and the child became warm. The dead raised to life. He returned and walked back and forth in the house. So then he left the child and he goes back to the house, and walking back and forth. Went up again and stretched himself on him again. Then the child sneezed seven times. And the child opened his eyes. People say, why did he sneeze seven times? I don't know. But he sneezed seven times. Well, what does that mean? Is there something mystical about this? And I'm sure there's preachers that have made something mystical about this and the number seven. But all it is, he sneezed seven times. Probably clearing his sinuses up and all. Or maybe he was allergic to Elisha, I don't know. Or what he was wearing. You know, they had these goat skins and everything in his fur. But he sneezes seven times, and the child opened his eyes. Doesn't God work in mysterious ways? Sometimes God's working, we look at what's happening and say, what in the world is God doing? Why is this guy laying on top of me face to face, eyes to eyes, and I'm sneezing? I don't know. But God's working. He works in mysterious ways. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. And so he called her. And when she came into him, he said, pick up your son. Do you think she was having a happy Mother's Day? Huh? Pick up your son. Wow, are you kidding me? Pick up your son. But look at verse 37, our last verse. This shows the heart of this godly woman. What happened in verse 37? She went in, fell at the prophet, the man of God's feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son. First thing she did was worship the Lord. We would probably run to the son. She bowed at the prophet. It would be like us bowing before God because he was the man of God. Remember David, when his thing was over, he worshiped the Lord. These people that really know God, worship him first, thank him for the blessing, and then take the victory. That's the way it works, God first. You see, she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. I'll bet you they had a wonderful day. She probably cooked them a great meal, you know. Fell at the prophet's feet. She knew God did this, and she gave God thanks and glory. You see, a godly woman is a woman who has God first in her life, even above her son. And that's where she was, even above her son. God will deal and must deal with each child, and we must put them in God's hands and not interfere. The best thing that we can do is to be a good example to our children. Allow them to see our faith, that it's real, that it's not just something we talk about. Every difficult situation you and I go through in the home, they're watching, and they're watching and observing how we handle it. Even when they're older, we must be the example and not fall apart or turn to the world or take over. We raise them in the Lord, and we live for the Lord, and we let them see God in us. God bless you, moms, today, and all of you, and continue to intercede for those in your life. God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for this wonderful message. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. God, strengthen our faith. I pray each one of us leaves here with joy in our heart today. We know we all go through heartache, sorrow, grief, but we're never alone in it. And I pray that in these things we would pursue you. We would seek you first. We would allow you to work in each situation and not interfere. Let people see in us our faith in you, our prayer life, our hope in you. And let us be that example, Lord, that will encourage others. And Lord, encourage all of us today. As we walk out of here, let us be strengthened in the Lord and have a wonderful day. And whoever we come around, let us bless them, Lord, and share that love of God with them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.